Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
And it's my opportunity to invite Tom up for the message. Thank you all.
I'm a little nervous. This has not gone the way I thought this was going to go this morning, which I'm really excited about. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Tom Kyle, and my beautiful wife Randy's in the front row with me, and we have the privilege of serving this community. And if you're newish here, welcome. Welcome to what we do. Sometimes, never, always. This morning, we're going to continue on in a series on the book of Acts. We're going to move into chapter 3. And this morning, the title to the message is Three Words, which is kind of an oxymoron because it's actually just two words. See, somebody was tracking with me, and I appreciate that. But this morning, the title is Three Words. If you will, read with me. I'm going to use the NIV this morning, not because it's the version of my preference. It's what I have. And so we'll start with that. And if I can bring... nice to have you join us, Andy. Good morning. Got your coffee? Cool. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Andy. Thank you that he could be here with us.
Thank you for Andy.
We bless the Williams family and thank you for them. We're so appreciative. Thank you for our worship team. Thank you for our sound team. Thank you for all the people who came early this morning for the coffee, open doors, turn on lights, to turn on heat and make it comfortable for us. Father, thank you for great-hearted people who serve us as a family. For those people back in the children's ministry this morning. Amen. For 129, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me this morning to communicate your heart. Holy Spirit, that you would help us to hear you this morning. Lord, that we wouldn't play the game of, well, that was for Sue, that was for George, that was for Billy Bob, that was for Cletus, that was for Erlene. But Lord, I would listen for me, that I would hear you for me, that I could be encouraged, that I could be changed, that I could be moved by your power, mighty Holy Spirit. I thank you for what you do. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, King Jesus, for coming. Thank you for doing everything that you could do and did do. And then you sent him. Father, thank you for sending him, mighty Holy Spirit. So lead and guide and direct us as we look through the beautiful Word of God, where we could find gold this morning and lifelong change. Bless this morning, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This morning, I want to continue on, as I said, the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. It's the activities, the actions of Holy Spirit. It's the actions, activities of human beings just like me and you. It's not, we can read it like a history lesson, but I believe what Holy Spirit wants, what heaven wants, what Jesus wants, is that we would continue on.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. With the exact same things where the church began. There was no period, no ending. Holy Spirit didn't go away. He's here. He's active. And he wants to use me and you to bring life to people, to receive life for ourselves, and then to give it away. In these verses, I just would like to highlight for us. This is what happens. This is what happens when people, men and women, just like me and you, are filled with Holy Spirit. Just like you. Just like me. Young, old, challenged. Just like me and you. Holy Spirit hasn't changed. And he wants to do the same things in us, through us, now. It's not just a history lesson. It's not just looking back, wow, what it would have been like to live back then. Sure, it would have been great. And those people, for lots of different reasons, wow, what it would have been like to live in 2024. They'd be old. In verse 1, just want to look back and pick just 2 or 3, 4 or 5 different verses. Verse 1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. The church had just exploded, just happened. And Acts 2, we looked at over the last couple of weeks. Holy Spirit came on people praying in unity, 120 in an upper room. And they didn't stay in their holy huddle. They spilled out onto the streets. And people who were there for a huge festival all came around because they heard a sound, they heard something. And they looked at these people acting strange, acting weird, acting drunk. And Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. And thousands got saved that day because Holy Spirit was moving on people's hearts. It was amazing. And now some days have gone forward. The church is continuing to grow. Things are still happening, continuing to happen. Verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This man, lame from birth, he was helpless and most likely hopeless. This was his life. And the community, probably family, friends had long grown tired of taking him every day to earn his living. But family took care of him. Family helped him. But this man in himself, can you imagine on the inside what he felt? Knowing, I am completely dependent on other people. I can't earn a living. I can't go milk the cows. I can't carry wood. I can't help bring water to the house. I can't do anything except stick my hand out and depend on the generosity and kindness of others. He's a man who has a need. And what I find amazing here, he's a man in the text with no name. He's got no name mentioned. The funny thing is, Jesus knew his name. Jesus knew his story. Just like he knows your name and your story. You may be here today and you're like, I just want, maybe you're like Isaac. I just want to blend in. Sorry, Isaac. I don't want anybody to know my name. I just want to just come and hear. But this man was different. He wanted to be seen. Because if you didn't see him, you weren't going to give to him. And so he was used to shouting out, being an imposition, being annoying to people, being irritating to people. Because he just didn't go away. He was there again and again and again. This man had a routine. This man had a norm. Every single day he was brought here. Just like us, we all have a routine. Anybody have a routine? Does your day, Mike has a routine. I saw that hand. We'll pray for you later. We all have routines. It may differ on Saturday. It may differ on Sunday. But for those of us who are gamely employed still, most of us have a routine. You get up at 5:30. I'm sorry, 5 because you read and pray. Sorry. You get up at 5:30. You get up at 6:30. I know what you probably do first. We're not talking about that. But you turn the coffee pot on. You turn the lights on. You go downstairs. You get the breakfast going, your cereal, your toast, your protein shake. Because we're all good Christians, we all read and pray for 30 minutes at least. But in your routine, in your coffee, you put the same amount of sweetener every day. Same amount, exact, because you know what you like. It's your routine. You put the same amount of milk, creamer, whatever it is. If you're spiritual, you just drink it black. Like Jesus. For those of us who have extra money just to throw away, our routine includes going to Starbucks. Jesus doesn't judge you, nor do I. We all have things we waste money on. We have routines. We go to work, we go to school, we do our stuff, then we come home, and we have a routine when we come home. Dinner, ugh. Unless I have to stop at the store, ugh. We turn on our favorite TV shows when we get home at night. We watch Jeopardy. We take off our work clothes or our school clothes, we put on our comfy clothes. We check the email, we check the mail. We check Facebook, Instagram. Maybe you call a family member. You start thinking, I got to do dinner. And at 7:30, you start thinking, okay, plan for tomorrow. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? You have a routine, our routine. We have routines. And I believe with all of my heart, God loves upsetting our routines. He loves it. And I believe Jesus is committed to upsetting your routine and my routine. He loves it because he's the God of the suddenly. He's the God of the, guess what today is? It's Adventure Day. This man, this lame man from birth, his job was to catch people's eyes. You don't catch the eye, you don't get anything. It's funny, my wife and I this week, we went to the Fox Theater. Anybody ever heard of it? Yeah. It's not Busch Stadium. It's not Savas Center, Enterprise Center, whatever the blues place is. It's kind of a foreign place to me, the Fox Theater. I thought it was kind of like an aspect of the zoo. There should be a fox there. But my wife likes such things, so we go. I'm not going to say what we saw, but we saw. It was in the afternoon, 1 p.m. thing, and I did not get dressed up. Walked out, and as the thing was finishing, the musical thing, I actually loved it. I know. That comment just cost me future money. I loved it. Instantly, my mind was taken to It started at 1, it's now 3:30. Downtown. Downtown. Ew. I don't know where Kayla went. I was downtown. And so I'm thinking, I parked down the street in this underground garage, and the place is packed. We were sitting in the back, because those are the expensive seats that I purchased for my wife. And I was doing great, because we're going to get out early. Until my wife says, I need to use the restroom. And again, the whole thing is a gift for her, so I'm like, great. At least we're going to be first to the bathroom. We're not going to be first out of this place. And so we wander over that direction to that side, and I don't know, 70 minutes later, we're wandering towards the front door, and it is a crowd of people. And because it's a 1 o'clock matinee on a weekday, it's not full of vibrant young people walking quickly towards the exit. And I'm annoying. Okay, I have a gift. I have gifts. I have the gift of being annoying. And so I would like to drag Buttercup by the hand. But she's like, at peace, glowing still with the presentation that we had just taken in. And I'm watching all these seasoned people walk past us towards the front doors. And I'm like, they're in front of us. They're in front of us. All y'all are in front of us. And I'm at peace. I'm not bothered. I'm a Christian. Easy, Heather. And so we walk out, and I look, I'm just thinking, okay, anybody like that, you're just focused to get out of somewhere? You're focused out, operator word, out. Go. And so we walk out, and it's just a lot of seasoned people. And so I look, and 10 feet from the front door is a man, a homeless-looking man who has a cardboard thing. And I looked at the cardboard, and it said, please help. And I think it said something about Jesus. I don't know. It just said, please help, and stuff. And he looked, he was dressed like potentially a homeless person. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound nice. And he had a can, cup. And because I love Jesus and I'm kind, I set aside my need to go quickly. Right? Yes. No. I was so focused on me. What did I not do with this gentleman? Okay, this is not a trick question. Don't all jump out at once. But if I don't want to stop, reach into my wallet, and let more seasoned people walk past me, I saw his cardboard plea for help from soft-hearted people. What did I not do? I didn't look at him. I didn't look at him. I didn't look at him. No eye contact. Just being honest. I'm more worried about my routine of getting out, go home, than this gentleman. Just wanted to go. So I read it. Oh, just keep. And I didn't even say, oh. I was like, mm-mm. Go, sweet pie, go. I just walked right past this gentleman. And as I read this story, I just wonder how many people, because thousands and thousands and thousands of people walk right past this lame man. Some people stop. Some people would have given to him. But the one thing that you don't want to do with someone in that situation is you don't want to make eye contact. You just don't. Whether it's guilt's going to move you, it just seems less messy if there's no eye contact. It's more like, because I'm not looking at you, you can't see me, I can't see you, we don't see each other. I'm just going to go. And I wonder how many people, every day, this blind man, lame man, who could see, used to people looking down, looking away, act like they're in deep conversation, because I don't want to stop and give you money. It's not that I can't. It's not that I don't have the ability to. It's just awkward if I look at somebody and think, because it's almost if I look at you, see your card, look back at you, now I feel guilty. I feel obligated. I should. And it doesn't mean I shouldn't if I don't make eye contact, but I just avoid eye contact. Verse 3. It's only two words, eye contact. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Verse 4. This is our salient verse of the day. Peter looked straight at him. So did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Look at us. How many times do you think that man heard that on a given day? Look at us. How many times?
Zero.
How many times do you think he heard those three words in a week? Typically. Never. Who would? I wouldn't. Would you? I mean, after reading this, sure. But we all have routines. He had a routine. People have a routine. Peter and John have a routine. It's 3 p.m. They're going to pray. They are there for a reason. They're going to go pray. Beautiful thing. But Peter said, "Look at us." And I find it amazing because several different reasons. One, it creates an onus to stop and do something. What's going to happen? Give. But this is the same man, Peter. Same man. Everybody say same man.
Same man.
This is Peter. Same man. Who just weeks before was filled with shame. Most of us know Peter was one of the disciples. Probably the most prominent of the disciples. In Mark chapter 14, verse 31, just before this passage, Jesus had said, "I'm going in to Jerusalem and I'm going to die." The equivalent of it. And Peter, being Peter, said this. But Peter insisted emphatically, just seeing if you're paying attention. Yes, I am. I'm going to just put that upper plate up. Peter insisted emphatically. He's speaking to Jesus, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Luke 22. Jesus has been arrested. Verse 59 to 62. Luke 22, the Bible says this, an account of something that really happened. About an hour later, another asserted, speaking to Peter, only Peter, About an hour later, another, which means there's previous, two other ones. This is the third. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him. Peter, you were with him, Jesus. For he is a Galilean. Verse 60, and Peter replied, man, sir, person, I don't even know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, as was prophesied. And here's the verse. Here's the verse. Verse 61. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. The Bible tells us that previously, hours before, Peter had made the emphatic assertion, even if I have to die, I will never disown you. I'll go with you, even if it costs me my life. Now his life is at stake. The first was a little bitty girl. Second, another person. This is the third person, Mr. Brave Peter. Hey, weren't you with this Jesus dude? You're from St. Louis. Y'all say farty far. You say Malk. I recognize you by your accent. You're from Galilee, just like Jesus. This guy was with him too. This guy, right here, was with him too. Peter says, I don't even know what you're talking about. The problem is Jesus was being taken out of the same vicinity, which is why Peter was there. And as Jesus is being taken out, he just turns and locks eyes with Peter, Mr. Big Mouth, Mr. Hotshot, Mr. Bold, Mr. Courageous. And Jesus doesn't say anything because you don't have to. Jesus made eye contact with this man. And Peter locked eyes with the man. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter's reaction in total shame, he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter's a broken man, an ashamed man. But something happened to Peter that changed everything. This man in shame had been filled with the Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit came, it changed everything. Shame was gone. Freedom came. Now this man who was so full of himself, so full of himself. Peter was always jostling with all the disciples. I'll be first. I'll do it. I'm the greatest. Let me. First out of the boat. First to sink. First to transfiguration. There's 10 different times where Peter just fails miserably just because he's audacious. He's bold. He's annoying. He's irritating. He's everything you don't want to be in the wrong side. And in his true moment to stand with the love of his life, Jesus, cowardice. How do you recover from that? There's no mention in here about therapy sessions. Not despising or mocking or minimizing therapy sessions. He didn't speed read through John Maxwell's entire series on leadership. What happened to this man who denied Jesus to a little girl? Holy Spirit changed everything. Changed everything. Holy Spirit. So now this independent, arrogant, full of himself man is walking along for prayer. And what he doesn't say is this: Lame man, look at me! Doesn't say that. This leader of the pack, hotshot, full of himself, he doesn't say, look at me. Now he says, look at us. No longer has to be first. No longer has to be, I'll show you the way, boys. Leave it to me. I'll hack the servant's ear off. Jesus is like, no. Glue it. Malchus, it's back. Healed ear. Peter, we don't need swords. Peter's like, but I have a sword. I hacked. Did you see? Did I do good? None of y'all brought a sword. It's not look at me anymore. It's look at us. You see a changed man right here before you. A man who was crippled on the inside. Now speaking to a man who's crippled on the outside. I'm trying. Look at us. Because he knows what this man is feeling, because that's what Peter felt. I see you on the outside, but sir, I see you on the inside. You got no hope. You're helpless. You can't help yourself. Peter says, I know, sir. But I also know somebody. And I've been changed, and he'll change you. I got healed on the outside. He's going to change you on the inside, heal you on the inside and the outside. Look at us. Interrupted schedule, interrupted routine. See, Peter's now full of heaven. Peter's now full of Holy Spirit. And what I'm about to say, don't take offense. Don't take offense. Please don't take offense. Peter did not begin speaking in tongues. Peter began operating in another gifting. This man didn't need to speak in tongues. He needed to walk.
Yeah. Very good.
And so many Christians in our day and age get hung up on the gift of tongues. And we impose that on other people. Quick story. Randy and I moved back to St. Louis in 1991. We bought a house in O'Fallon off of Youngerman Road and Willott. And we moved in. And day two, a man from across the street came marching over to see me. I haven't met the man. There's an eager neighbor. He must need Jesus. No. He came walking over and he said, hey, I heard you're a preacher. And I'm like, ugh. Dang. And I said to him, hi, my name's Tom. Didn't take my hand. He said, are you a preacher? And I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, do you speak in tongues? And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. And he blurted it out. Tender. His name was Tender. I don't know. I have no recollection. And I said, yes, sir, I do. Turned around and walked home. He's a Christian. Preacher. Didn't want to know my name. Didn't want to know anything about me. Do I speak in tongues? I should have said, can I pray for your healing, sir? Not that sharp at that time. Sometimes we see the thing about the gift of tongues, it's all for my benefit. It's all for me. But all the other giftings are all for other people. Can we not get hung up? Do I speak in tongues? Absolutely. Do I value the speaking in tongues? Absolutely. Is it important? Crucial. That's for my benefit. What about all the other gifts that are for the benefit of others? Does tongues help make me bold? Absolutely. But I love this. Verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he reached down and he pulled the man up and he walked. And the man clung to him. Well, just real quick, we'll just read it. Finish out the chapter. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them in the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And all the people, it says in verse 10, were filled with wonder and amazement. But it took somebody who had only experienced himself and shame. What was the remedy? Holy Spirit. Not counseling. Not quoting Bible. Not leadership stuff. They encountered Holy Spirit. Changed man. And because Peter was changed, now he can give it away freely. Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit important? He's the third person of the Trinity. Not to be dismissed, despised, relegated to a doctrine on a website. It's Holy Spirit. Is it key? It's beyond key. He's beyond key. He wants to come inside us, and he'll never leave. And he brings power, heaven's power with him. And it brings us freedom from shame, guilt, fear, insecurities. He brings heaven. And when he comes, he splashes over into the community around us. So what's your community? What's my community? And here's my challenge, the great but how. Here's my great but how. In my routine, is it the girl at Starbucks while you're wasting your money? I say that in jest, sorry. Is it that 21-year-old girl, a barista? Are they baristas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do that. I'm a barista. I make it at home. Don't know how that all works out. But maybe it's, you even know her name. It's Melody. And every day, you just get your double, triple, vanilla latte, quadruple, double sour cow. I don't know, whatever it's called. Maybe this day, as I'm driving in line waiting, because I'm late for work, fussing, while I'm waiting in line, I say, Holy Spirit, is there anything that you would have me say to Melody? Is there that lady who just always looks so discouraged, so always frowning? I wonder why. And maybe I need to lock eyes with somebody. Lock eyes with somebody that makes me uncomfortable. Because it does make me uncomfortable. Holy Spirit, break me out of my routine and help me lock eyes with people. That the Holy Spirit, you will splash out of me onto other people. That they would be healed and whole. Open my eyes to lock eyes. Second thing, second great but how, I have to be full. If I have nothing, or if I'm running on empty, I have nothing to give away. Am I full? Not full of it, full of him. What am I full of? And not a date 47 years ago. Oh, I remember the day. I got saved August 3rd, 1977. I remember the day. I remember it. 3 months later, I got baptized. 2 months later, I got filled with Holy Spirit. Is it a date on a calendar? When somebody asks me a question to the gentleman across the street, you speak in tongues. December of 77, sir. Good, good. Go on your way. Is it a date on a calendar? Or is it current day? I'm full of Holy Spirit. And it keeps me from being selfish and self-serving. It keeps me from just wanting more and being on my routine, walking past the very people that Jesus has placed before me. See, they're there every day. They're there every day. Lord, help me to see. Help me to see. Holy Spirit, I thank you for today. I thank you that you're here. I thank you for what you do. Can I have the prayer team come forward, please, real quick? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here today, every day, as always. And I thank you that you're here to love, to bless, to empower, to encourage. I thank you that you're here, as you always are. And I thank you that you're not just here during our time of worship. I thank you that you make the scriptures come alive. Thank you for the Bible, that you make it real, you make it applicable. But Holy Spirit, I don't ever want, forgive me for ever reducing you to a verse or verses in the Bible or a doctrine on a website that I can pick and choose. I agree with that, I don't agree with that. Holy Spirit, that I would live and breathe in community with you. That at the end of the day, it's look at us. It's look at us. A family of people who are empowered to spend the life of Jesus, to give the life of Jesus away to people who are dying for it, wanting to live for it. Jesus, help me. Like Peter, like John, I thank you that you also make me bold. You make me courageous. You make me step outside of my comfort zone. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that's what you do. You take shame and make it go away forever. And you replace it with us instead of me. You take my darkness and you make it light. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. So my question for you is simple. Are you full? Are you full? Do I want to be full? Because the scripture, well, I don't have time to elaborate on it. It talks about being continually full, being continually filled. It's not a one-time event. It starts at one point, but it's continual. It's lifelong, and he wants to use you. Because if he uses you, if he uses me, he's going to get glory. Because my name isn't Billy Graham. My name isn't Corey Ten Boom. My name isn't insert big name. It's you, it's me. And he'll get a lot of glory by using me and you. And the beauty is he wants to. He so wants to use me and you to heal people and make them whole and to use me as the conduit. So can I have everyone stand if you're able? If you can't stand, don't sweat it. Holy Spirit, we're hungry. We want you. We need you. We want you. Lord, that we would be a community of people just splash over. The lady at Starbucks, the lady at Walmart, my neighbor, my child who's so offended by my faith. There'd be an ambassador of grace and peace and mercy and love and power. Holy Spirit, we want you. We're desperate for you. We love you. I thank you that you're not just a doctrine. You're not a doctrine, but you're a being. You've always been. Help us. Empower us. If you would like, can I just have the leaders also just kind of come up on the platform, maybe? If you're a leader, you know you're a leader. Just come on up. If you don't have a title, perfect. You qualify. Especially if you don't have a title, but you know you're a leader. Just come on up. And there are people here who would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They would like that initial thing, that initial encounter. They would like that. Just to be full. If that's you, I'm going to end the meeting now. And if you would like, you can be dismissed. You have things to do. You just need to go. That's great. No problem. But if you could, take conversations out into the lobby, please. Out into the lobby. If you're going to have conversations, we're not throwing you out. You can sit and stay and just worship. You're more than welcome to stay, even if you don't want to come up and get prayed for. That's fine. We're all welcome here. But if you'd like someone to pray for you, I'd like you to come on up. We'd like to pray for you. Nothing weird, just him, Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't weird. He was different. Holy Spirit's not weird, just different. Not earthly, not worldly. He's just different. So we'd like to come. So thank you for this day. Thank you for this day. We bless this day, Lord, and this week, and all that we do, all that we encounter this week. Jesus, may the sweetness of heaven and the aroma of heaven be all around us and all that we say and do. I thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your love and your mercy for us. We love you, Jesus, with everything in us. As we started the meeting, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, King Jesus. We love you. We love everything about you. Be blessed. Be encouraged. In Jesus' mighty name. So if you'd like to stay seated or standing, you can. If you'd like to come up and have somebody pray for you, we'd love to pray for you. If you need to go, that's great. No problem at all. We love you. Be blessed. Be encouraged. But if you'd like more, just come on up. We'd love to pray for you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.